Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about Naughty Dog layoffs, how we're playing Spider-Man 2, and we're answering the question, what if we ran PlayStation? We'll have all of this and more because this is PSI Love You XO. Welcome to the show, everybody. That's Blessing. I'm Greg, and you can get this show on patreon.com/kindoffunny. There you can watch us record it live, get it ad-free, and get dozens of monthly episodes of exclusive content. If you have no bucks tossed our way, no big deal. Support us on the Epic Games Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, or Fall Guys with the creator code kindoffunny. You can get PSI Love You XOXO for free with ads and without the exclusive content on youtube.com/kindoffunny games and podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool, Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money, Shady Rays, and DoorDash. But let's start with a PSN message from you. Hello, Blessing.
Hello, Greg. Did you hear the news?
Which part?
Apparently, we've changed the name of the show. It's just 1XO now. Because you got cut off in the intro.
Oh, did I?
Apparently, that's what our YouTube chat is saying. I don't know if that translates to the final podcast version.
Yeah,
so I said, so I was like, we'll have all this morning because this... PSI
Love You XO Chunk. You know, like it went right into the intro.
That's weird, because I heard Greg do the full thing, so I don't know.
I also heard Greg do the full thing.
This is where I get worried, because, you know, I mean, what if this is Obama's first episode he watches, and he doesn't know, and then he tries to tweet about the show, and then people don't see it, and it's a huge issue.
Yeah. He sees that error, and then he leaves out the door, and he's like, Malia?
I think...
Michelle. this PSI Love You XO XO.
I think... It kind of sets the pace for the show we have for you, ladies and gentlemen. If you're an audio listener, maybe you haven't noticed any differences, but video viewers will notice we are in the lab today. The kind of funny computer has given the team all sorts of trouble. So we have top men working on it right now, trying to get that back up and running in the studio, make sure that all works. So we're in here. Then, of course, you got Roger walking behind me. What do you got there? A bag of McDonald's for Bear?
No, it's Panera.
It's Panera.
Panera.
I needed soup.
I
wore out my voice last night.
Yeah.
Screaming.
Yeah.
At the neighbors.
Roger, can you give me some Panera also?
No, I ordered my own Panera.
Did the Panera truck break down outside? Did the Panera truck go by with this little song and people are coming out getting their soup and bread?
It's usually the ice cream truck that does that.
Exactly, that was the joke. We're in the lab, everybody. All right, so we're where we usually stream games. On top of that, Jana Garcia, unavailable for the show. So it's me and Blessing, but I'll be honest, we look good, Bless. Look at these shirts.
Oh, man, I mean, listen.
Shoe for president,
there's
baby!
There's a new campaign. There's a new
shoe
campaign going down.
We're wearing, of course, the shoe for president shirt. This is, of course, us throwing our weight. There's a lot of it. Behind Shuhei Yoshida for president of PlayStation. Of course, you can get it right now. Over at kindoffunny.com/store. However, it is a limited time drop, meaning that October 6th, that's right, the Friday this posts, at the end of the day, apparently, it's coming down. So you are running out of time to get up there and get your shoe shirt, but I'm excited to be rocking mine.
I'm excited. I hope it happens.
It times out well, because, of course, it's not time yet. But when we get to topic of the show, we're talking about what if we were the president. It's not time yet. We're talking about if we were running it. For right now, we're going to start with a PSN message from Ricky Morrow, who writes in and says, what is your biggest PlayStation hot take? Mine, and this is Ricky, is that Astrobot is better than modern-day Super Mario.
Interesting. See, is this a hot take when you're a PlayStation fan?
I think so.
I think overall...
Mario's still, like, king of the castle, top of the mountain for platformers, right?
I think it's a video game hot take for sure. But, like, if you're somebody that listens to PSI Love You XOXO and, like, you live and breathe PlayStation, I don't look at that. I don't go, oh, how dare you. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see that. Like, if you're a bit, if this is the platform you play on, and, like, I can kind of see how you get there. Because Astrobot is fucking excellent. Like, I think Astrobot is in, like, the running for best modern, like, platformer franchise currently. I don't think it's better than Mario, but I think one day we can get there where it's like, yeah, you look at the big hitters and you're talking about Mario, Astrobot, and of course Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog, huh?
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Sonic, yeah, of course. You tried to slide him in there a little bit. It felt like
no, he's naturally in there.
Okay.
My biggest PlayStation hot take. I think my biggest PlayStation hot take would probably be that I think the more and more PlayStation Studios tries to lean into like having studios be like Naughty Dog and Sony Santa Monica, I think the worse and worse it does for them. Right?
Wow.
Yeah. I think those are like they're probably two crown jewels of studios, right? I think Sony Santa Monica and Naughty Dog should do what Sony Santa Monica and Naughty Dog do.
Sure.
But I think the more and more you look at other studios to try to be that, then the more homogenous it becomes.
So you're saying like Sucker Punch? You're saying they're off track. They want to make Ghost, right? They made Infamous. They're making that long before that.
Not that they're off track, but I think that like the track they're on, they should probably stay on, right? Like I think Sucker Punch could have made something that wasn't Infamous or wasn't Ghost of Tsushima and still like made something that was excellent, right? Like I think for me, it's more so the more and more we get games that feel more and more like Naughty Dog and Sony Santa Monica games, I think the more and more you lose individual identity of studios. Where
so
it
what's
is,
your
like,
example?
Blessing is just telling these studios to stay in their lanes.
Stay in your lane.
Excuse me, Soup Boy. Soup it up over there and leave it alone. What are your examples? Because I feel like Days Gone is the example. What else you got?
I guess Days Gone would be the example. And I guess like I would look towards... I would look towards Guerrilla and Sucker Punch in a way. Because I think... like. Not that these games are worse for them, but it's more so like...
This Horizon hater, ladies and gentlemen. Janet's not here 1 week. Bless is dancing on Aloy's grave.
I think both those studios looked at what Naughty Dog was doing and was like... And I think the overall conversation was, all right, how do we lean into more of this, like... this brand for PlayStation in terms of like the prestige,
sure,
big,
yeah,
like high budget
single player,
yeah, AAA, third
story
party
driven, yeah,
action game, right? Like I like that as an identity.
Are you bringing Insomniac in too?
Not fully, no,
but partially.
But I could see Insomniac getting there. That's the thing is, I think I look at Sony Santa Monica and Naughty Dog as like the template, and I think the further we go, the more and more other PlayStation studios look at them to be like, hey, let's try to get closer to what they're doing and everything. And I think there are some ways where like, yeah, like you should strive to tell stories that's good. You should strive to like, you know, maybe have presentation that is like the striking and all this stuff, right? But I look towards something like Returnal with Housemarque, and I like how unique that is in terms of like a PlayStation,
sure,
identity.
Because
that's even one where it's like, yeah, like this is a game that is a third-person action game, all this stuff, right? But like in terms of the gameplay flow, in terms of what it is and setup, in terms of how different and like I would say innovative like that is as a AAA roguelike style game, right? Like that was one where I'm like, okay, y'all really found your own lane and did your own thing and found something that was unique. Of course, I love Horizon. I love Ghost of Tsushima.
Spider-Man, too.
And Spider-Man, right? Like, I love all these games. But I think if we get into the conversation of why a lot of the time, like, when we talk about, like, the hierarchy of PlayStation Studios,
mm-hmm,
you know, I'm one to say that, oh, yeah, Sony Santa Monica and Naughty Dog, S tier. Guerrilla, Sucker Punch, Insomniac, A tier. I think what might be keeping them back from hitting that S tier is that, like, you know, we keep trying to do what Sony Santa Monica and Naughty Dog do, as opposed to like, hey, what makes like your own thing special? Huh. And people, I mean, DG Mayer
take.
Says Horizon great,
take.
Less wrong. That's not one. The question is hot take. Secondly, again, I'm not saying these games aren't great. These are all games I love, but also like, I don't know. I think I would like I like the idea of like the diversity in like your identity, right? Like I want like a mixed like. I want PlayStation Studios to be like a box of chocolates where I don't know what I could get, right? Where it,
sure,
could be anything, as opposed to me knowing that, like, if PlayStation...
That strategy's really working out for Xbox and their first parties.
Exactly. But, like, I like the idea of, like, if PlayStation spun up...
Come on, Superboy.
If PlayStation spun up a new studio right now, I like the idea that it could be something that, like, catches me off guard and
something
way different.
But it would be,
different.
You think, right? I mean, did you see Haven coming? Did you see Haven coming with their games, you know?
I get, but like my thing more so is like I saw Days Gone coming, right? And Days Gone was like one where it's,
yeah,
like, oh yeah, let's try and chase after what we've done. Let's try and lead into the identity, and then it comes out, and it's like.
But even that, right? Like, I don't think it is PlayStation putting the gun to the studio's head saying, make narrative first-person AAA games. I do understand what you're saying of these other studios looking out the window and going, oh my God, look at the flowers Naughty Dog's getting. Look at what's happening with Sony Santa Monica. We should do something like that. But I feel like Sony Bend would have been on that track regardless. I think Sony Bend pre-Days Gone was sick of making the portable PlayStation franchises and getting overlooked for the most part, right? Like, I love Resistance Retribution. Lots of people played Golden Abyss but didn't think it was the best Uncharted. I feel like you're in that thing, and even before then with Siphon Filter, right, which, again, I loved and played the shit out of on PSP and stuff like that. Like, you're in this thing of, like, okay, that's happening, and that's all well and good, but they wanted their breakout moment, and I think those games I just mentioned, while not being the big AAA whatever, were doing what PlayStation needed and giving them, you know, first-party games on their portable platforms and giving them narrative-driven action games. So I think it is a natural step that they're like, all right, now we're gonna make a big boy game on PS4. We're gonna make
one.
I don't know if that was necessarily the fault of the success.
For sure, yeah. And I think my thing is, I don't think a big boy game means that we're going to make a game like Last of Us, or we're going to make a game like God of War 2018, right? Like, I think there's so many different examples. And for me, I think what I come back to and the way that I think about this hot take that I just came up with out of nowhere and I'm trying to deliver is that I think for the future of PlayStation, when we talk about upcoming projects, I am the most excited about a new Astrobot. Like, I'm so excited about what the next Team Asobi thing is going to be. I'm so excited about what the next Housemarque thing is going to be. I'm also excited for Ghost 2, like Ghost of Tsushima 2 when that comes out, or what the next Horizon is, right? But, like, for me, I think what the big boy game can be so many different things. And I like the idea of it being like, hey, like, let's explore all the different ways we can make these AAA games that can be unique and vibrant and cool and all these things. Like, I don't want, like, the copy-pasted template of, like, third-person action where we move slowly through a world and somebody has mommy issues or daddy issues. It could be either or. And, like, you know, we're in, like, a tattered world or whatever.
Even where you were saying there, you're so excited for what Asobi's next game is, right, or X, Y, and Z. When you start, you tossed in the next Horizon and the next Ghost, I'm excited for those, of course. But the problem is I feel like we've had so much of a known quantity syndrome recently. Where it is of, like, God of War Ragnarok. I was like, God of War 2. No. God of War 2. God of War Ragnarok's an amazing game. So incredible. Yada, yada. It was our game of the year. We loved it. When I close my eyes and think of God of War, I still think of 2018 because that broke the mold and that was something different. Ragnarok was more of it, right? We all loved Horizon Forbidden West, right? We had a great review about that. I recommend it. Had a great time with it. But when I think of Horizon Forbidden West, I think of being disappointed in the ending and how it was just a bridge to the third game. And I know what that third game is going to be. I am way more excited to see what is Sony Bend's next game going to be. What is Team Asobi's next game going to be? What is the unknown quantity going to be? Because we have so much known quantity right now.
Yeah, and I guess that's more so what I'm getting at is, like, yeah, I like the idea of the unexpected, right? I like the idea of something coming out of left field and me not knowing the ways in which it's going to wow me. Because now when I sit down and I play, like, if you gave me a PlayStation Studios game, what I expect when I boot it up is, like, you know, to be greeted with,
cool logo,
like, the PlayStation Studios logo. All of a sudden, the haptics start hapticking, right?
Oh,
and
my,
like,
God.
And then I get in, cold open. Somebody's crying over their mom or dad because they got mommy or daddy issues. It's like, all right, cool. Like, I'm gonna get like, a cool, like, you know, personal narrative and then some fun action gameplay. But I think for me, I just want more exploration, which I'll probably get into in the topic of the show.
Tots. But we're not there yet. I mean, my biggest PlayStation hot take would be that if you ask me to clear the mechanism, you know, close your eyes, what's your favorite PlayStation console? I'm going to say PSP. I'm going to say PSP all the time. Yeah, I'm going to say it all the time. And it's one of those weird ones of, like, again, your favorite. What is Greg's favorite? Da, 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 da. But it is such an interesting argument of, like, don't get me wrong, I love my PlayStation 5. I think, you know, the library is shaping up to be something pretty special over here. I'm having a great time with it. It'd be, you know, da, 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 da. But, like, PSP is so tied to memories. Like, I know I just had a conversation on XCast, which is available now, where I come in and talk about Mirage and the X screen, which is pretty dope. But I was talking there a little bit about, like, how, you know, Gary was talking about Xbox and handhelds, and I'm like, well, keep in mind, like, handheld gaming as we knew it is dead. Now it is just about taking your console on the road with you, and how do you do that the best way possible, right? And to think back, and I was like, he's like, what would you want out of a PlayStation handheld? This, and I'm like, at this point, all I want is a portable PlayStation 5. I just want a handheld PlayStation 5 that I can play offline on a plane or whatever, right? And I said specifically, I don't want, like, developers making smaller, watered down, whatever experiences for this handheld. But then to look back with, you know, rose-tinted glasses and remember how much fun I had with that PSP and to be on Muni or BART or whatever, you know, even when I was in Missouri with it and stuff like that, like, the way people had to be creative to make their games on there, the fact that, you know, now we're in such an amazing time, and we have been for quite some time, of indies and just publishing weird shit and having it everywhere and be able to do that. Like, the PSP was a weird shit machine for a lot of different people. And I'm not even talking about homebrew, and I'm not even talking about, you know, hacking it or anything like that. It just means what's coming on UMDs at the time. And so you toss into that and, like, Rock Band Unplugged and Patapon and the things I've talked about forever on this thing. But it's just like, I fucking loved my PSP. I loved my PSP. And shockingly, I think this is something that's lost to the annals of history quite a bit. Like, I wish I loved the Vita as much as I loved the PSP. Like, I loved the PSP for all its warts and yada, 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 and it sucked not having a second stick and da-da-da-da-da. But, like, you know, the Vita gets there, and it was just, like, from the launch, PlayStation didn't believe in the Vita. So it was, like, there was not much to get excited about for as much as I love the Vita, and I do love the Vita. I just wish that I loved the Vita as much as I love the PSP, because I love the PSP.
Wow, yeah, I mean, like, that's definitely a hot take, because, like, as you were talking there, right, like, I feel like the argument is about the experience,
yeah,
right, and, like, I think that's a valid argument of, like, hey, yeah, the time that I had with this thing and being able to take it on the Muni and being able to, like, have that with it, I think that's a powerful argument, but then I look toward the other side of library, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know if
Peace
I can
Walker,
name,
that's all you needed.
I don't think I can name a library that I wouldn't say, on the PlayStation side, that I wouldn't say is better than the PSP library. Like, I can't name one PlayStation platform where I'm like, the PSP had a better library than this.
It's understandable. It's understandable. But there's a lot of good there, okay?
I believe you.
Pursuit Force going. Have some fun out there.
You had, what was the name of that game? Death Junior. You had Death Junior.
Oh, Death Junior. Big deal. Comic book tie-in. Remember that thing?
Yeah.
That too?
You had the port of Tony Hawk's Underground too.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you had Spider-Man 2, the movie.
I was going to say, not the game, UMDs, the movie. Man. You know, when I got to IGN and I covered the PSP, I ran the PSP pages, but even before then, when I first got to my desk and I was, like, putting everything in and, you know, moving things around, like, there was a drawer of UMDs that had been left there that I was going to put in the library, and there was a whole bunch of Japanese UMD porn there. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Cameron Kennedy in chat says PSVR 2, which is a good call out. I wasn't thinking of PSVR as a platform because I think of it as, like, part of the PS5 library, but that's a good point. That, yeah, if we're counting PSVR 2 as a library, I'll put PSP above PSVR 2 so far.
Okay, so now let's get spicy. Would you put PSP above PSVR 1?
No, I would not. No. PSVR 1 has Astrobot.
Beat Saber,
Astrobot Rescue Moss. Mission, Moss. I mean, I like Trover Save the Universe a lot. Blood and Truth.
I like this game a lot. That's what he's got for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's already five more games.
I fire all those games into the sun for Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. I don't care.
Oh yeah, Peace Walker is really good. I think the double hit of Beat Saber and Astrobot might overtake Peace Walker for me.
Okay, have it your way. For now, let's move on to the topic of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, it was covered last week. It's been covered all over Games Daily. It's covered in the streets. They're reporting about it. They're talking about it. Your streets, Poppy. Right, you're hearing about it in the streets.
I don't think they call me that in the streets. That's one of the things that they
well,
don't
see,
call
that,
me.
That's what I was trying to get to is I was like, what? I guess you'd be your corporate changeover Poppy is what they're calling you in the streets.
Okay.
Your streets Poppy in the streets. I knew it wasn't right when I said it. I was like, wait, that's not how the bit goes. Your corporate changeover Poppy, right, Blessing?
Presidential exchange. I know that's not an
Anyways, Jim Ryan is out as of next year for the Sony or PlayStation CEO and president. That's why, of course, we're backing Shuhei Yoshida for president in the shirt that you can go get. But obviously, this has been on the tip of everybody's tongue talking about what the future could hold for PlayStation. And so we decided to say, what if we ran PlayStation? And I've gone through and made several bolded things here of questions of what we would do. So, Blessing, Jim's gone. They come out. They announce you, Blessing Adeoye Jr., as the new president and CEO of PlayStation. I need to know your big day one announcement, all right? So, like, there, you come out, you get to do it, you know, whatever you want. Maybe it's just a blog post if you're lame. Maybe it's a video. Maybe it's just a tweet. Whatever you want it to be. Maybe they throw a press conference. But I want to know is what you're coming and bringing to the PlayStation Nation.
Ooh, okay.
New regime, Poppy, says the hip albatross.
What okay, up? I can That's rock with one. That. I can rock with that. I mean, usually it's like both the words are P's to, like, give, like, the alliteration. But I like new.
Leftover Poppy was one of the ones you gave yourself.
No, Leftover Poppy was the first one, and you're right. You know, I think I'm gonna come in. I think the main announcement I'm gonna make, because I think with a new regime change, the thing is, I don't really want to come out and make like big announcements of like, oh yeah, like we're completely revamping PlayStation Studios. Like, I feel like that's a thing that needs to simmer, and that's a thing that you need to work through. But I think a thing that we can come out and state from the get-go is our new vision of PlayStation being a bit more community-focused and being a bit more down-to-earth and personality-forward than we have been in the last few years, right?
Okay.
So I think I'm going to come forward. I'm going to talk about how we're going to bring back PlayStation Experience.
Hey!
Yep. We're bringing back the physical event, the physical convention, where PlayStation fans come out, they hang out, they play games, they go to panels, they get to meet Shuhei, and they get to meet a bunch of people that are PlayStation personalities. We're doing that first and foremost. We are, unfortunately, we're getting rid of State of Plays. All right, and like, this isn't part of the announcement, but like the implicit reason why we're getting rid of State of Plays is that, like, I feel like most of the time the speculation phase and like the State of Play reception phase isn't always the greatest. It's always the, oh man, we're gonna see this and this, and then you get there and it's whack, and like afterwards everybody's all grumpy about it, right? Like, there's only been I feel like a few State of Plays where we come out and we're like, oh yeah, that was awesome. We're getting rid of State of Plays, but we're also doubling down on PlayStation showcases. We're gonna have a PlayStation showcase at least once a year, maybe twice a year if we have a June one and then one later in the fall. That is where you can expect your PlayStation first party announcements. That's where you can expect big third-party announcements. That's where you can expect big indie announcements. All right, look forward to that for PlayStation Showcase. In addition to that, we're going to have a regular PlayStation Indie Showcase. We want to do a better job of talking about showing off and highlighting indie games. And so we are going to have an indie showcase that I would say is analogous to like the Nintendo like Nindies thing, or even like Xbox has their indie showcases sometimes. We really want to double down on like really developing and improving our relationship with indie developers. And so we're going to have an indie showcase.
So then, Blessing, I'm not a member of the press here. I'm internal with you at PlayStation.
What's up internal?
You say you're coming out and you're killing PlayStation showcases. You're going to have
State
of Play. Give me one or two PlayStation showcases a year. Mm-hmm. My immediate concern would be that we often use these State of Plays as the way to prop up our third-party partners who are probably in licensing and marketing agreements we promised to give some kind of push, some kind of juice for. How are we gonna get around that?
I mean, I think that is going to be the increase of PlayStation Showcase. Like, I think the extra PlayStation Showcase we're throwing in a year, right? I think you're using with that. I think we're also going to double down on for the third-party stuff, right? Like, I think we do go to things like the PlayStation blog and stuff like that, right? Like, PlayStation State of Play, I don't know if that is working in the way that we wanted to, even for those third-party partnerships, because I imagine that when you're putting the pen to the ink, we're talking about, yeah, you're going to be part of our showcases. You're going to be part of our streams showing off new games. Is the return of State of Play, or is the reception of State of Play, even on the level that we want it to be, right? It is not a Nintendo Direct. Like, let's be real. Like, people do not get hyped about a State of Play the way they get hyped about a Nintendo Direct. People do get hyped about PlayStation showcases in that way.
Sure.
And so we're going to really nail down. We're going to take those deals. We're going to apply them, or we're going to integrate them with the showcase. And then also we're going to take the ones that are that we deem appropriate and put them on the PlayStation blog / make it a Twitter thing, because we want to make sure that we are going for quality as opposed to just quantity here with the deals that we're making to get games in these shows.
Do you think that would make, don't worry about the reaction, but do you think that would make the Suicide Squad game folks happy? Remember, they got their own State of Play. I'm sure that was a marketing agreement. I'm sure there was money moving hands there.
We're PlayStation. We don't care.
Oh, my God! He's not even playing the sides anymore.
We're the most popular console platform. They're going to come to our platform no matter what. If we piss them off, what are they going to do? Not come to PlayStation? We got 50 million consoles.
Man, this president is not negotiating with terrorists. He's just not doing it.
We're PlayStation.
Okay. That's a good day one announcement. Okay. I like that.
What you got for me?
I mean, for me, like, right, I would address the community's concern, and I would say the live service push is dead. All right? I don't know. And I could also see it, if it's not dead, it's going to be explained. Because that would either, it's kind of like when either one of us becomes president of the United States, right? The first thing we're going to say is, take us to Area 51, show us all the aliens. You know what I mean? Tell me everything about aliens, blah, blah, blah. It'd be the same thing of like, all right, cool. You know, congratulations. Here's your card. We're going to give you a tour of the office. Like, all right, take me to the live service department. I need to see the whiteboard. I need to see the string theory. I need to see the Excel documents. I need to see the PowerPoint slides that are explaining what the fuck you're talking about with 12-plus live service games. And how I need to see fair games right now. Because that'd be the other thing, too, of, like, based on public sentiment right now, how I feel about it, I would come and say, live service push is over, all right? Helldivers, of course, you're still shipping. Congratulations. Marathon, you're Bungie. We trust you. You live on. Fair games, you're dead. Haven, but I would also let me see the game. I'm not gonna come in there. Like,
before we kill it, I just want to see the gameplay real quick. Just out of curiosity.
No. Before I said yes or no, I would need to see this. I would need to understand why this game thinks it has a shot in 2024, 2025, whatever, in the current landscape of video games. Right? Like, what are you doing? And what are these other ones? What are the other nine games doing that think they're gonna push this forward? Like, this isn't who we are. This is not the identity of PlayStation. And even if we want to back off being, you know, because I have my vice president, Blessing Adeoye Jr., if he's saying, like, we need to, you know, we can't have a homogenous first party, we can't all be that's fine. That's all well and good. I still don't think the answer, moving away from AAA narrative single-player games, is to be like, all right, cool, they're all live service. We're putting out a bunch of multiplayer things. So, you know what's going on.
I want to come in as a shareholder with a question here. How are we going to make the money?
Oh, I mean, I think, again, we'll double down on what we do well of these.
But, like, when I look at the chart, though, like, the chart says that post-launch content makes up so much of the portion of money that we make in the industry.
I mean, I would turn around and point to all the layoffs in the industry and all the closures of live service games and all the people who can't make this work. And I would say that I just don't believe this is the way to make it work. I think I would want us then, you know, let's make smaller games faster. Let's get out there. And this is something I talked about on Games Daily, I think, with you the other day, right, of, like, let's take the PlayStation IP we know that we love, we know that the audience loves, and let's work with trusted third parties and indies to really go and make something cool, right? I have one coming up here that I don't need to get into right now. Well, I guess it's not even third party anymore. But I pitched one that I stuck with for that. But it's like, let's get out there and see what somebody else would do with Infamous, with Siphon Filter, with whatever. We can find, if Sony Bend doesn't want to make that, that's fine. But, like, right now in the vacuum of Metal Gear, right, we should be probably pushing Gabe Logan. Because even though you don't want to be Gabe Logan.
I don't want to be Gabe Logan.
Even though you don't want to be a shareholder, there's people out there begging for a spy game. Begging for it.
Fair enough. Good first statement.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. The other one I put on here for all of us, Blessing, was I want three first-party moves. All right, so I want three different first-party moves. This isn't day one, but it's your first year. You're out there. You're the president. You're doing all these things. What's your first party move?
My first party move? My first party move is that I'm announcing what the next Astrobot game is.
Nice.
And, like, I don't even care about fans at this point. It's about me. I just want to know myself. Like, I want to know what the next Astrobot Rescue Mission 2 is. It's not going to be VR. That's first and foremost. It's going to be a console game.
Nice.
Because
I like that.
We're not necessarily going to say this, and y'all might hate that we're not saying this, but, like, listen, we got shareholders to appease. We're not putting anything out for VR anymore, all right? VR is done. You're not even going to see VR in our show.
Are you killing VR? Because that was one of my thoughts of, like, what is my... It could work here, too, I guess, but it was a thought for my first...
We're killing VR. We're not going to say we're killing VR, because, like, turns out VR fans, they're out here wild, all right?
We're putting VR out to pasture. It's getting a retirement package where it will be supported by all manner of third-party and independent partners
exactly.
who are making their games, and we believe in the potentially VR. We have not seen the success of VR, so we are taking our foot off the gas. We will let everybody else port their games and worry about it.
Exactly. We gave you all the platform. Now it's what you guys do with the platform.
100%. I appreciate that. That goes for both of our regimes.
Hey, first party, you guys aren't touching VR, right? We're making some real video games.
And then again, they'd all look around at each other like, no, yeah, we're not. No, none of us are, like, doing that.
You guys weren't doing that anyway? Wait, then what was... Okay, right. Okay, cool. I want to see Astrobot Rescue Mission 2. If I could, like, if we're early enough in it where, like, we can still decide on direction or whatever, like, I want it to be kind of like a Banjo-Kazooie, Mario Odyssey-style game, right, where you have these big open levels that you get to explore all these cool collectibles. I want the fun themes. You know, I want the I want to say themes, right, like level themes. I want the fun jungle level or the fun lava level and all this stuff. And I want it to be more creative than that. But, like, I'm president of PlayStation Studios or president of PlayStation. That's not necessarily my job, I don't think. But y'all figure it out. I want to see what that looks like.
You're snapping your fingers and they're making the game.
Yeah, exactly. That's my first thing, is that we're announcing Astrobot 2.
Okay, I like that a lot. My first party announcement would be, and this is, like, pretty much, I think I might even announce this in my initial address. Mm-hmm. When I say live services are dead, Let me see the gameplay. Fair point. Fair game. Let me see it. I'll do one of these. I'll be, it's like totally like I'm at the podium and I'm like, live, this live service initiative is over. Helldivers, you're cool. Marathon, you're cool. Fair games, let me see it. And like they like somebody holds their phone up and I do one of these. I'm like, no, no, it's dead too. They're all dead.
Oh, it's a cool idea. All right, let's get rid of it though.
My other one in that initial address would be that I would announce we are showing something from Ghost of Tsushima 2 at Game Awards. Maybe be a surprise for you. But even if it's just a cinematic trailer, I would try to win back the public's trust here that PlayStation knows what they're doing. When you end a PlayStation Showcase, which should be like the biggest event of the year for PlayStation, and the next day there's like people just desperately clinging to rumors that there'll be another showcase. they're still gonna do a showcase the rest of the year that'll show the things we want to see, right? That's still gonna happen. I would be like, I gotcha. It's gonna be okay. Have some Ghost. Let's confirm Ghost at Game Awards. Let's make that a premier franchise for PlayStation. We got the movie going on. The game was great. Let's see something from Jin's future.
Amen. I love that.
Thank you.
My second first-party move, or third-party move, my second of my three first-party moves is going to be I'm announcing what Media Molecule is working on. Greg, you said you're killing live service. Under my regime, we're not killing live service. We're more so reorganizing live service, right? Okay. Let's announce things and do things that are going to work in a way that makes sense for who PlayStation is. And so Media Molecule, you're going back to Little Big Planet, and we are treating Little Big Planet like a platform.
Nice.
Because when Little Big Planet first came out on PS3, it had the vision there. It had all the ideas there, right? I think in terms of you know, what online was and what PlayStation was, like, we might have not had the full foundation of it. But I think now we're further along with it where we can make Little Big Planet a thing that has a 10-year plan. You know, we've been already putting out a lot of skins for some reason for the Sackboy's Big Adventure. Like, we've already been treating it like a platform. You
know, Janet's family's got to have them all.
Exactly. And so we're going to take the efforts and all the practice that we've had doing that. We're going to shift into making a traditional Little Big Planet. We're going to take our learnings from the last three games. We're going to take the learnings from watching what Nintendo does with Mario Maker and also what Nintendo doesn't do with Mario Maker. We're going to take those learnings and we're going to create a platform.
How is Mario Maker not a bigger deal?
Yeah. You know, this is a PlayStation podcast. We're going to get into it. That's a deep conversation. But we're going to make Little Big Planet the ultimate 2D platformer, create your own level platform that we can, and make it a thing that exists in the ether as an ongoing service game.
Okay. So how are you bringing – is it just what it already was with Play, Create, Share, or are you
– It's what it already was with Play, Create, Share, plus, like – we are going to, over time, we're going to add in all the tools and add in, like, we're almost going to treat it, like, think like early access, but, like, in real time of, hey, we're taking in all the feedback of what you want as players. What are creation tools that you really want? How do we let you level up your levels? Like, you know, tell us what you want, and we're going to make that game for you in real time as, like, you know, we put out more things and we get the feedback, we put out more things, right? Like, it's going to be one of those ones. We're also going to create content. We're also going to do the thing where, you know, we talked about in Dreams. Hey, we went to why didn't we go to Hideo Kojima to like make a Dreams level or a Dreams game or whatever? We're gonna start taking in those ideas with Little Big Planet of going to developers in our space or developers that we love. Hey, what if we had what's the name of the main dude that we love from Double Fine?
Tim Schafer.
What if we had Tim Schafer make a Little Big Planet level for us, right? Like, what if we had the known names that are these creatives come in and actually do that? And so we're going to have rotating levels that come in. We're going to have, again, updates for new tools and mechanics for you to use as creators. And also we're going to have, like, a nice, meaty campaign for you for when you first pick up the game that you have – so you can have, like, a beginning to end Little Big Planet experience that feels catered as somebody who might not be a creator.
How do you respond to stockholders being worried that this is a bit too artsy-fartsy, right? I mean, that's always been the thing with Media Molecule, right? We're doubling back to this franchise that people have seen a lot of. Are they clamoring for more of? Not to mention, so far, your announcements are your Astrobot's back and this guy's back. Why can't we just have one of them back?
Have you not seen Nintendo? Nintendo has mascots. Nintendo has family-friendly personality. They have Mario. They have Donkey Kong. They have all these characters that kids and families look at and really identify with. We have that, but we haven't treated that right in the last few years, right, or the last few decades. We have Astrobot, who could very well be our Super Mario. We have games there that people love. We have Sackboy that has essentially been that for us, but we've pretty much put on ice, right? Like, Little Big Planet 3 kind of came and went. Sackboy's a Big Adventure wasn't a mainline game. Little Big Planet 1 on PlayStation 3 was, like,
Greg, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that was popular, right? Like, that was a thing that people liked. And so we want to
double... The other thing that I think, if you don't mind me
coming in,
that has been overlooked, I think, in the history of Little Big Planet, right, is the fact that that was a partnership pipeline. And it did make money because it was a big deal when they had Marvel suits, when they had DC suits. And I'm obviously talking about things I bought. But I know they got even outside of that and got crazier with it of like, hey, we are giving out all these different Sackboy outfits for this game, in like stickers and things that you could go in and buy. And
that's the thing is we're in a new era. You know, we're post-Fortnite. We're post, you know, all these deals that people will make to get skins into their game. Like, we're PlayStation.
Some would say we're in the metaverse.
Some would say we're in the metaverse. And hey, listen, I'm not... between me and you audience.
Just you and me. Okay.
We're not going to make Little Big Planet into the metaverse. But between me and you shareholders, hey, have you heard of the metaverse? Little Big Planet can be poised to be the next metaverse. You know, you never know. But yeah, I think we're making those same deals as PlayStation with Little Big Planet to get all these cool skins and all these cool partnerships going there, right? Alongside like the idea of Little Big Planet, Sackboy being a recognizable figure for PlayStation and being a thing that families can attach themselves to. And also, hey, Little Big Planet on Netflix. You know,
we're working on a series. Now you're talking.
We're working on a series that kids are going to love.
Wow. All right. Now you're talking.
And here I come in as someone who's like,
sorry, sir. I don't know how you got the microphone.
Yeah. I just kind of like snuck into the offices here and I'm like just whispering in your ear, CEO Blessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Little Big Planet, Animal Crossing. Just like rip off Animal Crossing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Barrett.
Yeah.
Barrett, someone give Soup Boy a promotion over
you
here.
Know what? Yeah, Soup Boy's getting a promotion. We're gonna. Why is he soup? Oh, because he got the soup.
Because I had soup for lunch.
Listen, no one ever accused Kinda Funny of being creative soup with their nicknames. Boy. All right, Paula, Rimothy, we got what we got. All right, we got what we got. Damn, that's good. And again, that kind of speaks to what I'm doing under my regime, right? If I want people taking our IP and using it in different formats in different games, which brings me to my second first-party announcement. And this one goes out to two folks who are watching live right now on patreon.com/kindoffunny. They're Trogs. They're in the chat. This goes out to DG Mayer and Keegan Hill. When Blessing, and again, ladies and gentlemen in the comments, when Blessing was over there, it's a visual gag. When Blessing was over there, just Blessing, not Greg Miller, attacking Days Gone.
Oh, you've never attacked Days Gone before.
That's neither here nor there right now. He was over there, all right? When that was happening, DG Mayer in the chat said, Days Gone was great. I'll die on that hill. Keegan Hill said, getting sick of the Days Gone slander. DG Mayer, Keegan Hill, I'm excited that with my second first-party announcement, I'm telling you, Days Gone 2 is happening at Housemarque. This is them taking the formula we knew and loved of Dead Nation and bringing that into the Days Gone universe to give us more there. Again, let's take our IP. Let's give them to talented partners and actually own, you know, Housemarque no longer a partner. They were for Dead Nation, a first-party studio. And let's take – there is a Days Gone audience out there. There is a Days Gone audience that adored that game.
Yeah, but, like, you know, do we have to keep that audience, you know?
Days Gone audience. In your multiverse where you're just ready to burn bridges with the VR people and the Days Gone 2 people.
I'm sure all 10 of them are going to support our platform.
But again, Dead Nation was awesome. Days Gone is a cool concept in a game that I didn't think came together in the end. I think if you were to say, all right, cool, we have Housemarque, who everyone knows now after Returnal and knows is great. We have a freakier zombie franchise in Days Gone 2. Let's drop it into this smaller game that they can turn quicker, that they can go through and have this fun experience on, get it out. And again, it could be even, you know, this is another one of like, similar of like, Fair Games, what are you working on over there? Like, Housemarque, what are you working on over there? There'd be a little bit of like, okay, I'm not going to necessarily pull you off something great because this is more of the arcade thing, but you do love arcade, I know, Housemarque. So why not have a smaller team go through, do this, put this out?
So this you're looking at this as like almost like a side mission for Housemarque, where it is.
Possibly, yeah. I don't think their entire team needs to be working on this right now as they've gone and it up so much, yeah.
I think
this is a fun one, and it would open the door to what I'm talking about of like, what are you laughing at?
Cameron Kennedy in the chat who says, I think all we're accomplishing here is wasting Housemarque.
First off, fuck you. Secondly, Dead Nation was great. And so, like, I think putting it to a franchise that PlayStation gamers do know, and again, as I was very vocal about with Days Gone, is that even though I didn't like Days Gone, I was excited for a Days Gone 2 because I thought there was a lot of good ideas in there. I would have liked to have seen Sony Ben get a shot at going at it again. So blowing it up, doing something different, and giving a smaller arcadey Days Gone, I think could be a lot of fun.
So my as a shareholder,
yeah.
Or as maybe I can just be somebody else who works at PlayStation in this one. When the fan response is from the Days Gone fans, oh, we love Days Gone. Wait, what is this downgrade? This is an indie game. Like, what? Why are you making why are you making Days Gone 2 so small? Like, what do you say to them?
My answer is twofold. Number one, there's 10 of you. I don't fucking care. And number two, why didn't you buy the first one? You know what I mean? Come on. No. I think, honestly, and this even sounds also flippant, but it's true. Like, this is better than nothing, right? Like, Sony Ben has moved on. There will not be a Days Gone 2 from Sony Ben, which you would imagine, for all intents and purposes, means that it's dead, right? So why not have this franchise that does mean something that we have invested in? Let's go that way for it, and let's see if we can get juice from that, if we can bring people in to the PlayStation ecosystem. What can we do with it? Live over here on the chat right now with the Trogs, right? They were going through. Well, not there. Oh, here it is. The Hip Albatross says, Road Rash-style bike combat with freakers. Right? Like, that could be a fun one to drop in there, too. There's a bunch of fun things to do in there to give you a smaller hit of fun than having to be this, to your point, Blessing, big AAA, narrative first-party thing that always has to look the same and feel the same, and then is that, okay, cool, we're chasing Naughty Dog. We're chasing Sony Santa Monica. I think going with the roots of Dead Nation, which was a fantastic game, criminally underplayed, of course, because we're all so old, I think it'd be great to have that there.
Fair enough. My third and final first party move is we're making shorter games. I think both of us have hit it. This is one that I talked about last week with Janet about like what I would do like if I could get my dream in of what the future of PlayStation is. I think we made such great moves with games like Uncharted Lost Legacy, and I think even something like Miles Morales, so many people loved, even though it was like a shorter panned down experience. What if we were able to do that, right? You look at Assassin's Creed Mirage and Ubisoft even doing it there, and like that's gotten good reviews, right? Like, I don't think people mind getting these experiences that are, let's say, 10 to 15 hours long, because guess what? That's a very normal length for a game, right? To be 10 to 15 hours. To be able to come in, get in, and get out, I think a lot of people appreciate that. And also, we get around, like, a lot of critique that we've seen with some of our games, right, in terms of pacing. Uncharted 4 wasn't the best paced game. You know, like, Last of Us Part 2, I know so many people have problems with how that game's paced, right? Like, let's shorten up on the length and the amount of content in our games and just focus on, at least for the experiences that we want to do this for. Of course, we want to make a long game, Sony Santa Monica, Naughty Dog, whoever. But, hey, we're not going to make that. Like, we want to support you if you want to put out a thing that is 10 hours long to mainline, let's say 17 hours to complete, right? Like,
To platinum,
yeah. We want to support those kind of experiences coming out of first party that are focused on the quality, again, instead of the length. And to do that, to start off with that, the first title that we're going to announce here, yeah, right now, we're going to announce one of them right now, is Uncharted by Ben Studio. We're putting out a 10-hour Uncharted game, short and sweet, coming from Ben Studio. It's going to be focused on...
Why are you intent on killing Sony Ben? That's my question.
Why is that going to kill... If anything, it puts Sony Ben on a different pedestal. Oh, Uncharted? Everybody loves Uncharted.
Oh, the guys who did Golden Abyss are doing another not Naughty Dog
Nobody
Uncharted.
Nobody remembers that
the modern PlayStation audience is not going to know that, and they're not...
If anything, they're going to be like, oh, the Days Gone.
Yeah. It's going to be, the Days Gone devs, and then it's the old fucks like you and Dan Riker who are going to be like, Golden Abyss.
But here's the thing. Once you give Ben the shot to make a AAA Uncharted game for the PlayStation 5 and not make it a Nathan Drake story, because, like, leave that to Naughty Dog. That's Naughty Dog's. Work on a different character. Like, I guess if you want to do Chloe, if you want to do, like, a... are we spoiling Uncharted 4?
I feel like we've started just saying her name. It's fine.
Yeah, like, do Nathan Elena's kid. What was the kid's name?
I feel like we're saying her name. All right, well, I'll just give her a connection complete. Cassie, right? Isn't it Cassie?
Do Cassie, yeah.
It's been 8 years.
I agree.
Yeah, if you listen to PS I Love You and you not finish Uncharted 4 and you are upset about spoilers, I'm sorry.
7 years, sorry, right? 2016?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, like...
Can we talk about ridiculous spoilers for a second, though?
Go for it.
Yesterday, when we were getting ready for the X-Cast, and, like, this is... Stick with me, audience, and follow the line of thinking I'm about to give you. I'm about to give you a Spider-Man mythos spoiler, not a Spider-Man 2 spoiler. Like, obviously, I can't... We're playing the game. We're reviewing. We can't talk about
it. So, just, like, lore from the comics.
Exactly.
Okay.
I was talking to blah, 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 and I'm like, well, it's like, you know, how the symbiote will slowly turn Peter angry. It'll slowly infect him and make him bad or whatever. And Gary's like, what? I didn't know that. I'm like, how do you not know the basics? I'm like, have you never read a Venom story? He's like, I didn't see Spider-Man 3, the movie, so I don't know anything about it. I'm like,
wait, really?
This is fucking crazy.
That's insane.
That is a fucking statement, Gary. What are you, crazy man?
That's really funny, honestly.
Like, yeah, it makes him angry, and it's not a spoiler. It's what it does.
It's literally the basic.
You know it's
premise.
Bad, right? The symbiote is bad.
But yeah, whether you want to do a Cassie story or like a Sully prequel or just find a new character and make that Uncharted story.
Catherine Marlowe, let's go.
Like, yeah, make it. Like, go for it. That's the announcement I'm making, is that that's going to be coming out. It's a 10-hour game, mainlining, if you want to platinum it.
I'll tell you what, it'll get an 8, and then everybody's going to be like, oh, these are the Days Gone guy, and then the old people will be like, oh, these are the... And then Sony Ben just closes. That's what happens right there.
I mean, not after you sell 10 million copies of Uncharted First Legacy.
Yeah, WB Montreal really rose to the Arkham Origins challenge, really.
God.
Put them on the map.
At least that was another Batman game, you know?
This was great. If they got another shot at making a game like that, you know, I think they would have nailed it.
But what if, just hear me out,
what if
we, rather than give them another shot at that kind of game, we did this weird co-op-y thing where you can jump around a million different games.
So you're just saying that's what Sony Ben should do?
I'm just saying there's a death sentence.
Wait, right now in the timeline we're talking about, they're making a multiplayer co-op Uncharted, and I don't think we'll get there. I don't think that's what we're going to get.
Uncharted 4 multiplayer already exists.
Devontae Chisholm in the Patreon thing says, Uncharted Lazarevich Legacy.
The blue sap!
Let's go.
My third and final announcement here. This is completely a selfish Greg move, but we have to be selfish out here. And I do think there's an audience for it, and I do think they would rise to the challenge. Naughty Dog is making a Superman game. For years and years, we've heard how Superman can't be done. He's too powerful. He's too boring. Da, 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 da. I think Naughty Dog, you give him a cinematic Superman game. It wouldn't have to be open world. They wouldn't have to do all this different stuff. Be a linear storyline. We'd be in a good place. I still think, you know, a Telltale style should do it, but whatever. I want to see Neil Druckmann.
You want Naughty Dog to work on a different IP, on a licensed IP.
Yeah. Because I think, again, like, too, Naughty Dog's probably sick of being the people who just, like, everything's sad, everything's gross, everything's horrible.
But, like, if they wanted to make a happy game, they make another Uncharted.
Was it ever really happy, though?
Yeah, I think it was. It was a lot of, like, he was in very sunny locations. Like, he was...
A lot of murder.
A lot of travel, a lot of treasure hunting, which is inherently happy. Soli was smoking a cigar. He looked happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy when you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. We still have more talk about us being in charge of PlayStation, but I thought I'd talk about what we're in charge of right now, and that's patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode of PS I Love You XOXO ad-free. You can watch us record the show live as we record it, just like you've seen with DG Mayer and Keegan Hill. Of course, you'd be part of it. Then, of course, you could get them on demand ad-free. You could watch all the other shows get recorded ad-free, and you get them on demand ad-free. And then, of course, you get 300 bonus episodes of content like Greg Way, Kind of Feudie, and, of course, the Next Gen Podcast. And you could even get exclusive merch. But right now, you're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny, so here's a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Did you burn your last piece of toast? Have the avocados gone bad? Is the hot sauce bottle empty? You can try grocery delivery from DoorDash. You'll get everything you want delivered when you need it right to your door. You've trusted DoorDash to deliver your restaurant favorites, and now you can get grocery delivery that actually delivers too. You already know how much all of us here at Kinda Funny love DoorDash, but with thousands of grocery stores to choose from, you'll find the best in your neighborhood and boost your local economy with each and every order. You'll get exactly what you ordered, or they'll make it right. You want even more value? You can save on all of your grocery and restaurant favorites with a $0 delivery fee on all eligible orders with a DashPass membership. With easy substitutes right in the app and best-in-class customer support, you can get 50% off your first DoorDash order up to a $20 value when you use code KINDA at checkout. That's 50% off up to $20, no minimum subtotal, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code KINDA. Don't forget, that's code KINDA for 50% off your first order with DoorDash. This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDAFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. And it has surprised multiple of my friends and people at Kinda Funny how many subscriptions they have that they forgot they are still paying for. That's why I'm such a big fan of Rocket Money. It's so easy to cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you. Rocket Money can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bills and Rocket Money will take care of the rest. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. One more time, rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
Blessing?
Yeah.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
As we continue our regimes at PlayStation, talk to me about your third-party partnership.
Okay, so we're going to have a third-party partnership to make sure this goes as well as possible. Because we're gonna, this is going to be a big partnership that we're going to make. We're going to spin up another division of PlayStation, another PlayStation studio, if you will, and it'll essentially be the return of Japan Studio. If you remember, Japan Studio did a lot of like third-party stuff, third-party partnerships,
sure.
getting games on the platform, all that stuff. We're splitting up that division because they're going to work specifically with Konami and Konami IP. And we're partnering with Konami to faithfully revive three IP, Metal Gear Solid, Castlevania, and Silent Hill. And we're going to have specific developers work on these, right? For Metal Gear Solid, Bluepoint is going to work on reviving that. For Castlevania, Sony Santa Monica is going to work on reviving that. We've already heard interest from the God of War Ragnarok lead in our spoiler cast where he talked about how he'd love to make a Castlevania game.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're going to make that happen. And then for Silent Hill, we're going to partner with another third-party studio, Supermassive. Right, this is going to be a three-way third-party partnership, a business collaboration between PlayStation and Konami, and then we're reaching out to Supermassive to make this game for us, a Silent Hill game.
Okay.
So yeah, we're going to work with Konami to revive their IP since they don't want to.
Interesting. Now, will this division that's sort of like Japan Studio, you're working specifically with Konami, is it open to other thing, or is it strictly just a bridge to Konami's IP?
We're going to start off as just a bridge to Konami's IP, and then we'll see from there. Like, I think if they kill it, like if we do a good job here and, you know, we find success with this, I think we then start to look toward whether other partnerships that we can make. But I think for now, just at the ground floor, we're going to make it specifically a Konami partnership studio.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Not that it matters too much, but when you talk about this Supermassive Silent Hill thing, have you been keeping your eye on Silent Hill Ascension?
Loosely, I know there was like a bunch of Silent Hill projects. Is Ascension, is that the Supermassive one?
No, Ascension is Silent Hill Ascension is the one I did the Comic-Con panel for. It's by GenVid. It's the interactive streaming series Where, like, you watch it and then you play like little, you do little games and little things or whatever to make it happen. It's a choose your own adventure thing, though.
So is it kind of like what a Supermassive Silent Hill would
be is,
like?
It kind of is, but you're not really playing as much as participating in it, if that makes sense. And
gotcha.
It's like, you know, going to be on a million different platforms, and it's like the audience is working together. So it's not even like your own personal story. Like, you're not voting, but you're making choices in it that then net out on how much of the other, like, minigames and stuff you've done that then influence what happens.
Gotcha. Yeah, see, and, like, I think from the way I envision it would be we're making another a mainline Silent Hill, because already, you know, they're Konami's working on the remake, and they're working on, like, a bunch of spinoff projects. I want to make the next big foray into Silent Hill, right?
Okay.
Like, the next big step. And I would give that to Supermassive. And I would even go, y'all have creative liberty. Like, if you want to do the Supermassive thing and make this, like, a Supermassive game, as you know it, of, like, a choose-your-own-adventure, go for it. If you want to make, like, if you want to look toward all the Silent Hills that have come in the past and make another one of those and, like, give it that Supermassive touch, go for it. Like, we are giving you time and space to do this, and also budget. Like, we want you to make this as fire as possible for a Supermassive game. Because they're a talented studio, and I think oftentimes, like, you look at Dark Pictures, and it's like, wow, this comes out at a rapid pace, and, like, the quality kind of wavers here and there. The Quarry was a really fun one, but also Quarry, like, had its own things with it, too, right? Like, I think the thing that Supermassive runs into isn't a talent thing, and more so just a time and budget thing of, like, hey, we're making a lot of things, and we want to put out so many games at a rapid pace. We're going to give you the time and space and budget to, like, work on a thing in the ether and give us the best Supermassive product that you can.
Okay. You know, I get excited about that Metal Gear Solid. So,
yeah.
I'd be interested to see what you got up your sleeve. For me, I went in a different direction. Obviously, there's a bunch of third parties, but I think my era as PlayStation president will be very similar to what you were talking about, but personable. I will be talking to the audience. We will be out there. We will be interacting. You will know what's going on to some degree in a Phil Spencer-esque way. But one of my big announcements here would be I am partnering with Kinda Funny Games Daily founder Danny O'Dwyer.
Oh.
And I'm getting a no-clip documentary made about what the fuck happened with The Last of Us Factions 2 or whatever you want to call it. We're going to do Last of Us multiplayer, what went wrong.
Interesting.
Let's get in there. Let's give them everything.
You're going to show your scars. You're going to...
I don't think we do that enough in the games industry, right? Like, we know that this game has been gestating for how long? Forever. And so let's get in there and have a conversation through line of, like, start with, like, what happened with how Factions in Last of Us 1 came to be, what expectations were, how they outkicked the coverage. Then talk to me about how that starts. It's going to be Last of Us Part 2 mode, who you bring on, how it grows, how it gets going. When did we notice there's trouble? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many interesting threads. I don't think, you say show your scars, I don't think the games industry necessarily shows its work enough. It doesn't show its failures enough, for sure. So it makes it out to be this big thing that when a game gets announced and then shrinks down and then quietly goes away or gets canceled or whatever, it makes it seem more rare than I think it is. From what I understand talking to developers, the roads are littered with the bodies of games you've never heard about that were in pre-pro, in real production that got canceled. You know what I mean? I'm aware of a few big ones that I'm like, I can't fucking believe that never happened. That would have been amazing. Like, why not talk about that? What do you have to lose? I think maybe – I don't think it gets done, number one. Number two, I think there might be some of this, like, oh, wow, you know, like, there's this mystique of Naughty Dog. I've talked about this before, right, where I'm like – back in the day on Beyond, we would talk about these games, and I'd be like, well, eventually they're going to miss. Eventually they're going to miss. Eventually they're not going to put out a 10 out of 10. They're not going to put out this amazing game, right? And even if, you know, Uncharted 3 wasn't a 10, they're not going to put out a really great game that everybody loves to some degree, right? And that just hasn't happened. I think Naughty Dog's been amazing and amazing and amazing and amazing, right? And so, like, the fact that this one didn't happen, you can look at it and go, cracking the armor, right? Like, I have a question coming up from Jordan Gibson that we can toss in here now if you want. But with the news of Naughty Dog's layoffs, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, and the development hell that seems to be happening with The Last of Us multiplayer, do you still have the same confidence as Naughty Dog as a studio? And that, I think, speaks, we can answer the question later, but speaks to the reputation Naughty Dog has for putting out banger after banger. And I think it'd be fascinating to know what didn't work here. What is the Naughty Dog methodology for seeing if a game it works and doesn't work? And I know if you want to be a hater, you can be, well, Bungie killed it. Bungie did. Yeah, that's not exactly what happened. I'm sure Naughty Dog knew they weren't on to something. They needed help, and they brought some people in. So that's what I'd want to do. I want those skeletons revealed.
I like that.
Blessing?
Greg.
Your final one here. What studio would you buy?
This is a tough one because it came down to two options. One of the options was going to be Haze Light, because I think about like what studio feels like their products kind of line up with a quality that a PlayStation is looking for. And then like I kind of thought about that and then combined. I was thinking about it also in relation to your Superman idea of like if PlayStation bought Haze Light and gave them Superman, I feel like you get the Superman that you're talking about of giving it to Naughty Dog. But instead, I'm going to go to what I was talking about in at the top of the episode with the hot take of like I want something that is that can be like, you know, I'm going to put this alongside a Last of Us or God of War, but something that's not those. And I think a studio that is capable of giving us one of those is a Supergiant. You look at Hades, and Hades was one of the best games of the year 2020, the same year that we got a Last of Us Part 2, the same year that we got a Ghost of Tsushima, the same year that we got a Miles Morales. 2020 was stacked, goddamn. But, like, in all that, Hades won hella Game of the Year awards, right? And, like, you know, I think that a PlayStation Studios Hades... One, I would want them to operate the way that they already operate. Don't change anything. Like, let Supergiant continue to make Supergiant games. But also, I think, you know, it gets done the, hey, this is what how vibrant PlayStation Studios can be. Because we can't have The Last of Us and God of Wars. We can't have The Returnals. We can't have the Hades-type experiences. And they're all so quality in all their own individual different ways. And I'd be so fascinated, too, to see how that would then ripple back to the PlayStation indie side of things and, like, really leading off of, hey, we want these different kinds of experiences that, you know, speak to the vibrancy of the library on the platform, right? Like, if you're entering on into the PlayStation platform, you're entering on to, like, look around and go, damn, I'm eating. Like, this is a buffet of quality quality here that I can jump into. And so, yeah, Supergiant would be my purchase.
It's a great pick. You know how much we love Supergiant here and how much we love Greg and the team and Hades and everything.
And there's also, like, one more thing I'll throw in there, right, is that, like, when it comes to PlayStation acquisitions, I think, you know, I always try to look for studios that seem like they pair well with PlayStation, right? I think that's why you look at Insomniac and go, oh, okay, that makes sense, right? You look at Housemarque or Bluepoint, you're like, okay, that makes sense. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but Supergiant, like, had, like, a relationship with PlayStation for, like, games like, what was their second game? With the singing and the sword.
Don't tell me. Transistor.
Transistor, yeah. Like, was Transistor... that was, like, a PlayStation-focused... Or, like, a PlayStation...
It's hard for me to say because, honestly, they will always be an Xbox-focused studio because Bastion had that exclusivity for Xbox. So their first game, Bastion, which I adored, I always think of an Xbox One, so it's hard. I think you're right that there was...
Yeah, I did.
Transistor had a window.
Yeah, Transistor came out on PS4 May 20th, 2014. It did come to PC the next day, but then it didn't come to Xbox until... actually, I don't think it ever came to Xbox.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, yeah, I think that's why I kind of make that connection between Supergiant and PlayStation. But, yeah, I think there's something there that would really work within PlayStation Studios.
My final act here, as your president and CEO of PlayStation, is to look across the party lines and say, Phil Spencer, you want a war? You got a war.
Oh, God.
We're buying Larian Studios.
Oh.
So we'll fight fire with fire. You want to get Bethesda. You want to take Starfield and Elder Scrolls and everything else. We'll take the true game of the year, Baldur's Gate 3, and we'll run it down your throat, all right? We're going to have Larian out there making exclusive RPGs for us. Larian's hot as shit, hot as hell right now, hot as fuck. They're only going to get hotter.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't think Xbox is the one that's going to get the most mad. I think you're going to make PC players pissed
off.
Well,
no. But you understand how I'm doing it. I'm not taking it away from PC players.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
I would definitely... I'm stealing it away from Xbox. The PlayStation PC... parity initiative, yeah, would continue as planned here.
Okay.
I think you still get that there. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to piss off these CRPG nerds. You want to talk... You know what I mean? Like... The last thing I need is a picket line outside of the office there, and it's got all these disgusting CRPG PC players with their rats on their shoulder. I don't know if you know this.
Mm.
Everybody who loves Baldur's Gate 3 and plays on PC has a fucking rat. That's their pet. You know what I mean? It's like, if you know, you're Harry Potter, you get an owl. If you're some fucking PC loser, you get a rat. That's what it is.
That's fair enough. I can't deny that. Like, we got a rat at home in my apartment. Damn, it's crazy. But also, that's a very strong purchase. Like, it's one that, you know, I associate Larian so much with PC and the genre so much with PC. And so, like, I guess my question is, as president of PlayStation, are you then going to shift their,
their type of game to be a bit more console focused. Like, I feel like a Western RPG, if you want to compete with like a Starfield or a Bethesda, right, like would make sense if you're PlayStation, you're acquiring therein, or you're going to let them continue to make the CRPGs that they're excellent at.
My thing would be, yeah, like, I think I, Greg Miller, currently in the real world, IRL right now, am the problem with the CRPG thing, I think, is a very minuscule amount of us, and I think it's me. Like, I'm the one who really can't get over that control scheme. Like, you did. Mm-hmm. You did fine. A whole bunch of other people have. I've seen the emails. I've seen the emails. I've seen the commentary from other people who are like me. Like, yeah, I just can't do it. Like, I would let them do what they got to do. I would maybe work with them of, like, how can we get better for a console player? Like, how can we, kind of like Diablo 4, how can we design it maybe from the ground up with controller in mind to make it smooth for them and then also not miss anything for PC players? But in general, with all this, I'm going to stay out of developers' ways. I don't want to get in there and throw stuff around.
It's almost like,
again, Baldur's Gate is successful enough right now without...
Super successful. Yeah, and that's the thing, is I almost like analogize it to like GRPGs or like Persona 5. Of like, Persona 5 isn't going to be for everybody in terms of like the combat system and turn-based and all that stuff, but it's still super
popular.
The
game is. Yeah.
And that is what the game is. And so if you change it, I think you might take out some of the magic from it. And so, yeah, for Larian, I think you just got to let them do what you got to do. But also, yeah, I think going to them and being like, all right, but how do we really fix this for the console side as much as we can and like take advantage of the power of the PlayStation 5, quote unquote, to make that happen? I think that's smart.
A lot of you wrote in. I put up on Twitter, hey, I need your advice. You can write in, tell me what you want to do as president by writing into kindoffunny.com/PSILY, just like you can at any point in time to write in to be part of the show. We've answered a ton of them, bless. So, like, a lot of the one I've already gone through and deleted a whole bunch. So, ones I wanted to call out was Chuck Diamond. Not even so much for what he wanted to do, but his intro. You heard me laugh at my desk out loud about this, plus, and I read it to the room. Chuck Diamond wrote in, and I know usually I screw things up when I read them and they sound fucked up. I'm reading this verbatim from Chuck Diamond. If I were the new president of PlayStation, I would dance with the horse I brought to the two in the bush water.
What?
He's combining like several analogies or like whatever, and I fucking love it. And then Chuck goes on to say, I would have all studios except Bungie double down on prestige single player narrative action games. Then I'd fall asleep on my pile of money. You're welcome. Then he says, P.S. Janet rules. Can we have her on more KF content? No, Chuck, you'll have her on less content because she's not here this week or next. Joey Radstone wrote in and said, if I was made president, I would double down on the shorter premium experiences like Lost Legacy, Miles Morales, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. With the amount of time it takes to make games nowadays, this would help with first-party release cadence.
How long was Rift Apart? Was that a short experience? I'll look it up.
I don't think it was one of those 40-hour, 60-hour, I think it's that kind of thing. I don't think it was a God of War Ragnarok is what they mean by it. I forget. It wasn't that long, but it wasn't like...
Oh, you know what? Main story, 11 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Completionist, 18 hours. Yeah. Okay, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
And again, I'm with you on that, Bless, and I'm with Joey Radstone here of like, I would love that. I think one of the big problems we have with developer burnout is working on the same thing for so long. So yeah, make shorter stuff. Get it. Do that.
Yeah.
Make a high polished.
And I think it's a win for everybody, right? As PlayStation, you get to get more games out. As a developer, yeah, you get to work on more kind of games and not get burnt out of like making this big 40-hour thing. And then as a player, like, you also get more games, right? And like, you also get to complete games at a better pace. Again, like, there are so many options out there for 30-hour, 40-hour, 50-hour, 100-hour games. And I think the less games that are trying to do that and try to be a bit more succinct, I think it's better for everybody.
Then Gary the Third writes in with the final one, we'll say, and says, the first thing I would do if I were president of PlayStation is back the money truck up to From Software for Bloodborne 2.
Oh, yeah. I guess I should have acquired From Software. That'd be such a strong one, yeah. And yeah,
too late. Bloodborne Enjoy 2. Your games as a service, little big planet. That's what you doubled down on.
I messed up.
Bloodborne 2, that should probably happen.
Yeah. All right. Did it. We fixed PlayStation.
We did it. Shoe for present, everybody. If you don't like our ideas, make sure you back the man with a plan and a PlayStation Vita. Shuhei Yoshida, kindoffunny.com/store. Bless, what's happening this week in PlayStation?
Last was Studio Naughty Dog is cutting developers. This is Ethan Gotch at Kotaku. Layoffs were communicated internally at the Sony Santa Monica, California-based studio last week, according to two sources familiar with the situation. Departments ranging from art to production were impacted, but the majority of those laid off were in quality assurance testing. The sources said at least 25 developers were part of the downsizing. Full-time staff not appear to be a part of the cuts. Bloomberg reported in June that Sony had diverted resources away from The Last of Us multiplayer project following a negative internal review by Bungie. One source now tells Kotaku that the multiplayer game, while not being completely canceled, is basically on ice at this point. Which brings us into the question that you referenced earlier, Greg, from Jordan Gibson, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/PSIOY and says, with the news of Naughty Dog layoffs and the development hell that seems to be happening with The Last of Us multiplayer, do you still have the same confidence in Naughty Dog as a studio, Greg?
Yes. And honestly, stick with me. I think it might even have more confidence in them. My thought being here is that putting out a bad game is when you fucked up. Killing a game, stopping a game you've been working on, restructuring a game you've been working on, trying to figure out, find the fun. Like, I respect that immensely and appreciate that. Again, we made fun of Gotham Knights earlier. We made fun of Suicide Squad earlier. Not Suicide Squad, got delayed. Can they fix the problems with it, et cetera, et cetera? Who knows? But it is this idea that, like, it isn't hard to be like, this game, it is what it is, publish it. And honestly, at some point, there's the point of no return where you have to, we've put this much money into it, we got to do something with it. The fact that PlayStation and Naughty Dog are able to sit there and be like, yo, this isn't it, and not have the gun to their head to go, okay, we're putting it out. Now, I said all that, that's mainly about the struggle slash development hell, right, for Factions 2, the multiplayer. I don't have more confidence because of layoffs. Layoffs suck. It sucks these people are losing their job. You know, one of the things we talked about when we were reading the story on Games Daily, right, was like, if I'm trying to make sure this is it because we talked about, yeah, okay. Yeah. Adding to this, right, sources tell Kotaku that no severance is being offered for those currently laid off, mm-hmm. and that impacted developers as well as the remaining employees are being pressured to keep the news quiet. Their contracts won't be officially terminated until the end of October, but they'll be expected to work through the rest of the month. So I'm even missing it there. I thought we were talking about the contracts are being cut off in October. When were they supposed to go to? Dot, 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 dot. There's a bunch of stuff about, like, yo, that fucking sucks. No severance. That sucks. That's the business side of making a game, not the making of the game, right? So I'm not saying, like, oh, I have more confidence because they're fucking firing people. No, I'm saying based on the decision that this is happening. The QA stuff sucks, but of course, if you expected to have a game for them to QA and you no longer have a game for them to QA, that sucks, and that's how it is, and that's, you know, trying to make a game. But so the layoffs are actually, honestly, another part, a portion of it that I don't really bring into. Has it shaken my faith in them as a studio? No. I have the faith that Naughty Dog is still trying to make the best shit they can and that they are on such a pedestal of PlayStation that they can say, no, this sucks and we're not going to do it, so we have to move on to something else.
Yeah. Yeah, and to, like, even read into the question for me a bit more, right? Like, I look at the, do you still have the same confidence in Naughty Dog as a studio? And I would ask, what are you asking when you ask about my confidence in Naughty Dog, right? Like, are you talking about the quality of the end product that they put out? Are you talking about, like, how good the game is going to look, or, like, how, like, I don't know, like, the depth of the game, or, like, the storytelling and all these things? Because even with Last of Us Part 2, like, I absolutely loved Last of Us Part 2. Last of Us Part 2, I still have, like, I have my own personal critique with when it comes to, like, tone in the writing when you get to, like, certain parts of it that, like, you know, I'll say that, like, yeah, that stuff sort of affects my confidence in Naughty Dog. And, like, I guess when I think about myself and my confidence in Naughty Dog, I'm confident that Naughty Dog is a studio that can put out a AAA game that will have the world, like, you know, focused in and locked in on it, right? Like, when Naughty Dog puts out a game, I almost see them as a rock star, right? On varying levels, sure. Right? But, like, the gaming community is going to stop and, like, look at what that Naughty Dog thing is and pay attention to it. And I think whatever the next thing is, that's going to happen again. And I think, yeah, part of that is the fact that a Last of Us Factions that was bad didn't come out, right? And I think that helps me retain that level of confidence. But I think with that, right, there's so many different aspects to it where, you know, Naughty Dog, in terms of studio culture even, hasn't had the best stories come out about it over the last 5 years, right? We've talked about things like crunch right here. We're talking about layoffs of contract workers. We're talking about these different things. Like, and those are things that I don't always have, and us as media don't always have the view into of, like, what are the internal ongoings of a studio. But, like, with that, right, like, I already didn't have much or at least the utmost confidence in Naughty Dog when it came to what the studio culture is in the day-to-day
corporate structure
and all that stuff. That's not to say that, like, oh, Naughty Dog's bad or Naughty Dog's the worst, because that's the same story that goes for most AAA studios, it seems like, nowadays, for what the workplace culture and, like, the corporate structure is. But yeah, like,
you know, to what Greg was saying there, right? Like, yeah, like the my confidence in like the corporate structure kind of goes with the layoffs in the way that like that stuff doesn't really affect how I think about Naughty Dog creatively. What affects how I think about Naughty Dog creatively is what was their last product that they put out and how did that affect how I felt about them. But yeah, I don't look at this and go, oh man, the next Naughty Dog game is in jeopardy in terms of its quality or its Metacritic or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that will be fine.
Good.
Our other news story for PlayStation updates. Housemarque is going to establish the Nordic's most advanced gaming headquarters in 2024. This is Stephen Talaby.
Sounds like Avengers Tower.
Yeah, right? this is Stephen Talaby at PlayStation Lifestyle. Developer Housemarque, the makers of the excellent Returnal, is set to move into a very swanky-sounding new studio by the end of next year. The team is Finland's longest-standing game developer, founded in 1995, and operating out of Helsinki ever since. In a new blog post on his website, Housemarque says it's looking to relocate to and establish, still within the Finnish capital, quote, the Nordic's most advanced gaming headquarters, end quote.
It sounds like a threat.
The aim is for the studio to be both a testament to our rich gaming legacy and a beacon of innovation and creativity in the northernmost capital. It does sound like a manifest from like a villain in a Marvel movie.
Totally.
Calling it more than just a shiny new office. Brand director Mikhail Haveri describes the studio's vision for a modern and expensive-sounding workspace. Quote, with features like cutting-edge meeting rooms, proper audio studios, testing areas, and wellness spaces, we're creating an environment that merges Nordic sensibilities with creativity, aiming to attract the world's best gaming developers, the post reads. As well as all that, Housemarque wants the new studio to be eco-friendly, too. Quote, our revamped hub will champion green initiatives, ensuring a balance between technology and planetary care, end quote, it says.
I like how you laugh at it. That's such an American response.
I was like,
they're going to try to save the Earth.
How dare they? Quote, as we embark on this transformative journey, we're committed to further solidifying our position in the world of gameplay innovation, end quote. It all sounds fantastic, but we'll have to wait until 2024 before we get to actually see it. Pretty neat.
Blessing, how do we go to the opening?
God, I would love so much. I mean, what we're going to... They said they're moving out of Helsinki, right? Where is it located?
They're in Helsinki now, yeah.
Now?
Yeah, I don't... Did they say they're...
No, they're still within the Finnish capital, so they're going to be in... Okay, so we're going to go to Helsinki.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down. Like, do we tweet at... like, I guess Shu is going to be the president of PlayStation if our campaign works. So right. Do we tweet at Shu and go... Hey, get us to the opening.
I mean, I've known Mikhail a long time, so I feel like he's the in.
Yeah. Okay,
I'll draft it. I'll email him.
Okay, appreciate it. Yeah, because I've actually never been to Europe, and I've always wanted to go. And so, if this is my reason where I get to go to Europe, is it one of those things too where I can take a quick detour and hit up like France and England and go to London?
Yeah. I mean,
can I make this? Can I turn this into a European tour?
Yes, on your own money.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Hold on. It's the Nordics. I'm just gonna say new HQ. Hey, I gotta get out of this keyboard. I mean, I don't have my computer, you know. So like, I'm typing it on my phone.
That's fair. Thank you. I mean, while you're doing that, I can go through PlayStation Pitch.
I want to come to the opening of the new
PlayStation picks. The drop for this week looks like this. We got
happening
Bilkin's Folly for PS5 and PS4, Disgaea 7 for Vows of the Virtueless for PS5 and PS4, Scorn for PS5, October 3rd, Assassin's Creed Mirage is coming to PS5 and PS4, and then NHL 24 is out this week on PS5.
Congratulations,
and PS4.
And I'm gonna say Greg and Bless. All right, Bless, I'm signing.
Hell yeah,
and Bless.
Yeah, you have our permission.
I CC'd you on the email.
Oh, sweet.
Bless, no, okay, cool. We'll keep you posted, PS. I love you, folks. Now, again, they have to pay. They have to pay our flights. We're not going to pay our flights.
I mean, I feel like that might be. I feel like for us who are asking to even be get to go to the opening, I feel like asking for them to pay for our flights is like a step.
But
too
here's
far.
The thing, Blessing. Like, we're giving them a deal. Hey, you know what? No appearance fees.
Okay.
Just pay for the flights. We'll come.
Now we're talking.
What if we podcast from it? What if we podcast from there?
Are they going to pay for stay as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's implied.
Oh, God.
It's travel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel at that point, we got to offer
labor. But
what
if we we'll podcast from the HQ? We'll do PS I Love You XOXO in 2024 from the new, from the most advanced gaming headquarters.
Do you think they have a lot of PS I Love You fans in Helsinki?
Yeah, probably. We're everywhere, man.
I mean, look, I think that works. Yeah, I think if we can do a live episode of PS I Love You from the new Housemarque office.
I mean, if they pay for our flight rooms, stay. Proper audio studios. That's exactly what we need. Then they got wellness spaces. Blessing, you and I go in there. We put the cucumbers on our eyes. We lay down.
Oh, okay. Now you think they're gonna do this all while within the same episode we told them to make a Dead Nation or told them to make a Days Gone too? Hey, they're gonna be happy with that.
They're just excited that we're talking to them. They're just excited we're talking.
That's fair enough. Oh, by the way, what'd you pick to play on PlayStation this week?
Obviously a lot of Spider-Man 2, which we can't talk about, but we can on November 16th. The Kinda Funny Games cast will go up then, our review of Spider-Man 2. Then, of course, that week's PS I Love You XOXO will follow the tradition of being the FAQ. So you read all the reviews on the 16th, then, of course, go to kindoffunny.com/PSILY and give us your questions for it. And spoiler cast imminent, so make sure you get questions into the games cast about that as well. Will we have Insomniac there? You'll have to wait and see.
Very excited.
I said November 16th. I'm sorry, everybody. Jesus Christ. The 16th. October 16th, everybody. Fuck Cooper. Fuck my dog, Nick96. Dropkick Tondo. I'm pitching a perfect game out here. A flawless episode of PS I Love You XO for me. And here at the very fucking end, I gotta get it.
Flawless episode. Our first 5 seconds of this, we cut off the second XO. Flawless.
Why, Skelly? Anyways, Spider-Man, a lot of Spider-Man 2. And then I also played Assassin's Creed Mirage. 5 hours of it, I joined the one, the only, the boss baby, Barrett Courtney, over on the Kinda Funny Games cast for the full review that you can go get 4 out of 5 on the schedule, or the review scale, that's what they call it. I'm having a great time. I can't wait to get back to it. It is one I really want to get back to. Right, Barrett?
Is it saying anything?
Yes.
He said yes.
Go watch it. Barrett did a great job reviewing it. It was a really good episode.
A lot of kids were upset that I didn't give the score right away.
Fuck them. They're fine.
I like giving the score at the end.
But also, like, I did say great at the, like, kind of in, like, the beginning.
Yeah.
But I do understand for people who don't, like.
Wait, how long? Because I didn't listen to it. How long did it take for you to get there?
Tim was like, you know, what score do you give it? What's your score? And then Barrett said great and talked for, like, I don't know, 3 minutes.
That's not that crazy.
And then at the end, he's like, so, yeah, great, 4 out of 5.
If it was, like, 30 minutes, then I'd be like, all right.
No. I talked for, like, maybe 2 minutes about the history of AC, just to give some context. Then I said great, and then I talked about the reasons why I thought it was great. And then I'm on your side here,
Barrett, where, like,
it's not about the number.
It's not about the number.
It's about the sentiment.
Let me build up to it. That's the thing, is like the build up is part. It's like,
let me edge a little bit, all right?
It's like the song No Love by Eminem featuring Lil Wayne, where you had to let Lil Wayne build up the Eminem verse. So that when you get there, it's like, whoa. And so you got to build up the score. And then when you say 4 out of 5, it's like an IGN review, right? Like, they got the score at the end because you listen to it. And then you're like, oh, what's it going to give? And then it's like, oh,
yeah,
8 out of 10. It's like, whoa. You know, it's a big thing. I'm also playing Spidey, and I can't talk about it.
Okay, well, I'll see you October 16th then for that. October 16th. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week for a brand new episode of PS I Love You XOXO. Remember, each and every week we come to you with all the PlayStation news you can handle to hang out, have fun, and talk about it. If you like that, of course, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can watch the show ad-free. And before we edit back in the XO that we cut out... You could also get 300 bonus episodes.
See, you do joke about that, but there is a part of the episode we do have to edit back in.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, in the middle of the updates.
Is that when you exclaimed fuck?
Yeah, I exclaimed fuck because OBS stopped recording because the computer ran out of disk space. So I have to, like, go to the YouTube back end and, like,
I heard you say fuck, and I did one of these, like, lookovers, and I was like, all right, well, he's still there.
Is it going to be the one where, like, one of those ones where it's like we're in good quality until, like, that hits, and then, like, for, like, 5 seconds, we're going to be in bad quality?
It's not going to be 5 seconds. It's going to be more like a few minutes.
They got it. Don't worry. Most people listen anyway. Anyways, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames later, of course, podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get PS I Love You XOXO, thank you for supporting it. We'll be back next week. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.